Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Jesus' appearance to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus reminded me of a story about Kevin Bacon. I think you all know who he is. Kind of a famous actor. If you're a movie buff, you certainly would recognize him. Though he is almost instantly recognizable, there was a time he was working with a makeup artist who created a prosthetic on his face that made subtle changes to his face, obviously. And suddenly he was able to walk around the Los Angeles region without even being recognized. And he didn't like it. It was almost disturbing, he said. People kind of looked right through me, and they weren't nice to me. The actor said that because of his fame, he was used to being treated well. And suddenly, he wasn't getting those strokes. Most of us aren't as famous as a guy like Kevin Bacon, but we may have had a similar experience. Even before I had chemo brain, as I call it, as doctors call it, there were times I might see someone outside of the church building and not remember who they were or how I even knew them. Recently, our daughter Kristen was doing a show at the campus there, and I was kind of headed towards my seat, and a family was going around me in the aisle, and a little girl passed me and looked up and kind of smiled and kind of did a little tiny wave, and I thought she was looking past me at someone else. I was kind of looking around. No one was there. A little bit later, she was sitting with her parents, who also, I didn't recognize them, just a few rows ahead of me. She would kind of look back at me and kind of smile and make eye contact with me. I'll be honest with you, it was kind of embarrassing. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe it was Vacation Bible School. You know, you kind of see these massive kids come through and you forget who they are if you even really got the opportunity to know them. We've all had those experiences where we don't recognize someone. Maybe it's you're used to seeing them in a uniform. Police, military, nurse's uniform. And then you run into them in the street and you draw a complete blank. We know a lot of people and a lot of people know us. We establish friendly relationships with people we serve and we're glad to see them. And they're glad to see us. But take off that uniform, or leave your place of work, or show up with a child in hand, and suddenly you're unrecognizable. The relationship we thought we had doesn't seem to matter anymore. And then suddenly, instead of a smile and a wave, we may be treated as a stranger, perhaps even treated rudely. What happened to the connection we think we used to have? Well, today's scripture tells of an incident following the crucifixion on Easter morning. A disciple named Cleopas and an unnamed disciple were walking toward the town of Emmaus, a town about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, when suddenly Jesus appears beside them. We assume, as Jesus' disciples, they should recognize him, but they don't. What blinded these two individuals to the presence of Jesus beside them? Was there this subtle change to his face, to his walk? Maybe he wasn't in uniform. You know, there are plenty of examples in the Bible of folks coming into the presence of the divine and just not knowing it. Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre encountered the divine presence in these three angelic creatures, which was God. He doesn't know who they are. Moses hears a voice speaking out of the burning bush, but doesn't know who he is at first. Samson's parents see God without first knowing it. Well, as it turns out, you know the story will end happily because the two disciples showed hospitality to the one they assumed to be a stranger. According to the letter of Hebrews, we should show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Even so, there's a sense in this passage that the disciples should have known who walked with them. They asked each other immediately after their encounter, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us?" So what did they miss? Rather than focus right away on what they got wrong, let's look at what they did right. The first thing they did correctly was to widen their circle to include the outsider. Unlike us, they didn't walk a little faster and try to ignore him. Though they didn't recognize Jesus, they entered into a conversation about recent events. After expressing astonishment that this stranger apparently knows nothing about the crucifixion of Jesus, they explain their disappointment because they'd had such hopes in Jesus, and how now, 3 days later, the women, perhaps even Cleopas's wife, whose name kind of appears in that time, had found the tomb empty and had received a vision of angels telling them Jesus was alive. However, they add that some of the male disciples went to the empty tomb and saw nothing. These two disciples are talking to the risen Jesus about the death of Jesus and the news that Jesus is alive, he is risen, without recognizing that they are talking to him. How could they miss the obvious? There's a wonderful little short story if you're into Sherlock Holmes. It's called Silver Blaze. It solves a crime that took place in a horse paddock by drawing the attention of a detective from Scotland Yard to the curious incident of a dog in the nighttime. The detective protests, "The dog did nothing at the nighttime." And Sherlock Holmes replies, "That was the curious incident." Holmes goes on to explain that had a stranger entered, the dog would have barked. Therefore, the suspect had to be known to the dog, which drastically cut down on the number of suspects. So in this case, on the Emmaus Road, what was the curious thing they overlooked? Could it have been the witness of the women mentioned earlier? In that era, in that time and day, women were not even allowed to testify in Roman courts because they were considered by men to be untrustworthy witnesses. Well, apparently God didn't agree with that assessment, because in all four of the Gospels, the first people to carry the news of the resurrection of Jesus and the empty tomb, guess what? Women. Were the disciples somehow blinded by their preconceptions? The gender the ancient world considered second class was the first source of the resurrection's proclamation? Now, this isn't conclusive here, but if these disciples rejected the testimony of the women, there's no way they were ready to or prepared to see Jesus, even though the fact of his resurrection was staring them right in the face. Despite their blindness in this regard, Jesus explained to the disciples other clues they ought to have gotten. Those passages in the law and the prophets that pointed to a Christ who was a suffering servant. As mentioned earlier, the story ends happily because these two disciples do the right thing through their hospitality. In Jesus' time, guests were often expected to refuse an offer of hospitality until they were strongly urged to stay and eat. Well, this the disciples do, and Jesus, who to this day does not force himself on us, took over the role of host, giving thanks and breaking bread. And in so doing, he put on his uniform, and the disciples recognized him. This is perhaps the most profound thing the Scripture tells us. They and we recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And this is just as true now as it was then. When we break bread with each other here in church, when we break bread together with each other in restaurants or in our homes, when we insist on sharing hospitality to those whom God sends our way, when we are encouraged and open the circle, guess what? We recognize Jesus in our midst. Just stop and think for a moment of the people who've become significant in your life. Perhaps we knew the moment we met someone that our life had changed for good. But so often it's only in hindsight that we see how important they would become to us, or had become. When we break bread with Jesus at the altar, two things become very apparent. The first is, Christ's real presence is there in, with, and under those elements, just as he says. But there is another truth that we often forget. We, the church, are the collective body of Christ. When we recognize Jesus in hospitality and breaking of bread, we see him and we see each other as God's redeemed, his very children. As we extend hospitality to each other, we are recognizing and honoring the body of Christ among us. Here's my last point. After they recognized Jesus, and he is taken away from their midst, the disciples discover that their plans suddenly don't have any importance. Immediately, they head straight back to Jerusalem, from which they had just come. This is a sign that the resurrection is alive among us. When we are prompted, let's turn around, change your plans. At the call service this past week, Wednesday, Dr. Meyer, President Meyer of the seminary, quoted Yaroslav Pelikan, who said, "If the resurrection didn't happen, nothing matters. But if the resurrection happened, nothing else really matters." I thought, what a brilliant point. My friends, Jesus points us to the feast of bread and wine, and he locates himself there. It's not just a refreshment at the end of the a refreshment break in a service. Here our Lord offers himself to us in bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. But secondly, and sometimes I believe just as importantly, he locates his presence within the church, the body of Christ. When our eyes are opened to his presence in the sacrament, and when we see his presence among each other, we will have seen Jesus resurrected. And then, my friends, nothing else matters. Amen.